Now, this is interesting because she owned the Hotel Brunswick, and at the time the Coast Guard had just left it, it was empty. And she said, Isabel, you're supposed to come to Boston. I said, who said? She said, I did. I said, look, I haven't got any money for rent. And she said, who's asking you for any rent? She took me through 265 rooms and said, take your pick. And I said, well, I want to carry my end of the bargain. And I looked at her and I said, well, she said, look, you're supposed to do this. She said, I know what I'm doing. She said, you ought to come to Boston. I ended up in Boston anyway at the Hotel Brunswick, and I was there for 8 years. And she still laughs to this day. She says she's the only one that ever raised her own rent. She gave it to me for such a small amount, I couldn't, after I really got busy and got going, I raised my own rent, she said. But that's how I got to Boston. And then there were people interested in the astrological side and people interested in the spiritual side. And it was there in the Hotel Brunswick that we first became acquainted with a method that to me, to this day, is one of the very best I can suggest to anyone. And I'm most, most grateful to have the man who's responsible for the development of many, many people in the New England area with us today. I was introduced to Max Freedom Long's book, The Secret Search Behind Miracles and The Secret Science at Work. Now you hear a lot of people telling you, I am this and I am that, speaking of from the high self level. But how do we get to the high self? There has to be a technique. You can't just, this is why I often listen to metaphysicians, and it sounds wonderful, and they are right. But we're little struggling egos working with dark personalities down here. How are we going to get to that consciousness? And Max Freedom Long's book, Secret Science at Work, has done more for, I know personally over 100 people that it's taken from darkness into light. And that technique I would mention to all of you, if you don't know it, do get acquainted with it, because he is an old reincarnated kahuna himself. Back in that first time we tackled that book, I had correspondence with him. And he teaches you how to make a friend of your subconscious. And let me tell you something, if your subconscious doesn't like you, it won't take the message to the high self and your prayer won't be answered. You see, he says we're a conscious self, a subconscious self, and a superconscious self, and he is absolutely right when he said the conscious self cannot get to the superconscious self except through the subconscious mind. Now, I have a feeling the subconscious mind is our psychic nature, our astral brain, have it what you will, but it is the gateway to the superconscious. And we did all the techniques. We had many, many experiments. He is also right in what he says about vital force. I've had quite a bit of experience with earthbounds and with obsessions. You see, his theory, I suppose, I wonder how many of you know Max Freedom Long's technique? Well, the rest of you should know it. We have a small bookshop in conjunction with my studio and my counseling work, because, and I've sold more of those books than anything else. Two books I've sold the most of is Many Mansions, Gina Sermonara's book. I had the privilege of spending a day with her, having a great deal of fun. And Max Freedom Long's Secret Science at Work, but Janita's first book, to get how he found out about this white magic, that's what it is. For instance, you can, once you've made a friend of your subconscious self, it will do things for you such as you won't believe. Last night it was fun, the group were laughing, because last night my subconscious, you give it a name, you see. Mine's Jimmy. And last night we had two letters that had to go out last night back to Boston about certain lectures coming up. And I said, let's go down to Escondido after we leave here and find the post office. So we were driving down the center of the street. I suddenly stopped suddenly, and I said, what are you doing? And down a dark street, I says, Jimmy says, the post office is down there. Oh, they said it couldn't be. There's no road. I said, well, that's what he says. Let's go find it. The next corner, just where we said we found the post office. But these are only little incidents, but I'm going to tell you this, that if you get in right rapport with your subconscious, it will do anything for you if it likes you. You know, half of the trouble I find out in counseling is that people do not like themselves. Guilt, fear, all down there in the subconscious. How can you have a free-flowing consciousness if you're afraid of God? And you know what's interesting? This can carry right over onto the next dimension. And if you have guilt, it often earthbounds you so that you're afraid to go on, you're afraid of God. Let me tell you a little incident of this. Recently, there's a girl in my group said that she was seeing this man coming down from the third story again and third floor again and again, and so her children were seeing him too. The children are very psychic children, very unusual children, and they were about 7 and 9 years old, and they told this girl about seeing this man. And she said, Isabel, will you come over and see what you can do? Because they won't go upstairs to play. And she said, I don't feel as if it's an evil influence. She said, I just think it's somebody that's around the house that shouldn't be there. In all the work I've done in regard to this, there's always three forces. And this I don't understand, and I sure wish some psychic here could tell me. For some reason, the earthbounds or those on the astral hear my voice. It carries through. I don't see them. And so there's one who sees, one who acts as the battery, and Isabel who talks. So we went up on the third floor. My friend Rosalie had spent the night there before, and she says, Isabel, I never so frightened in my life. She says, I stayed awake all night in the middle of the bed. She says, I knew someone was there, but I didn't know who it was, and she says, I'm afraid to tell my hostess, if she'll think I'm crazy. I said, no, you tell us, you'll understand. So then she told us about this man that the children had seen. But we went up, went into meditation, and asked if we could be used to release this soul, whoever it was. And this was the story. He came, and he said his name was Edward. And he said he lived in that house. He didn't know what other people were bothering and doing in his house. I said, Edward, what year do you think it is? And he said, 1932. I said, no, Edward, it's 1964. Well, he couldn't believe that. I kept talking to him. I said, you know, I said, you don't belong in this house. You've left the body, and it's time for you to recognize it and go on. Well, it came out. This was the story. His wife had been sick up in that on that floor. She had cancer, and she was very sick, and she was due to die, but she didn't die quite quick enough. There was a nurse there that he'd fallen in love with, and there was something administered to hasten her progress onto the next dimension. Now, Edward had been brought up in the old religion of hellfire and brimstone. He'd already paid a lot of karma, I think, because as soon as it happened, the girl took off, she got frightened and married somebody else. So Edward was minus a wife and a girlfriend. and with a tremendous burden of guilt. So we talked for quite a while. And he said, he came right out frankly and said he didn't want to burn forever in the lake of fire. I said, Edward, what kind of a God do you think we have? I said, God is, was, and forever will be love. And I said, if you remember your scriptures, it says again and again, there is no condemnation in Christ. We're the ones that sit in judgment over each other and over our own deeds. The only judgment bar that any of us will ever meet will be before our own souls. God has given us free will, he has given us his love, and he will never withdraw it. And I said to him, no physical father would ever throw his loved child into a boiling vat, would he, Edward? He says, no. I said, then give God a little credit, too, that he is all love. So he was kind of a grumpy. He said, well, makes more sense than anything I ever heard. I said, well, Edward, why stick around here? He said, do I have to see her on the other side? Does it make? Many times the invisible helpers on the other side will personify the person who will help the individual who's earthbound the most. And you would be surprised what earthbounds people. Sometimes an emotional lock. I'll tell you this incident of being in the garden when there were three of us, and suddenly the medium who was used to release earthbounds went right out into a full trance, and she, by the way, she never remembered any of this incident, and it used to make her very angry because she was the girl who didn't want to miss anything, and she used to try her best not to go into deep trance because she said, I never know what happens. This particular summer afternoon, she went into a deep trance, and usually, and that the person that is the third party knows nothing about, a very practical, down-to-earth person, and knows nothing about psychic things. This always interests me, that they wait till I get that type of a person with us. And suddenly, this boy's anguished voice came out of this medium, and I said, who are you? She said, she looked very, the third party looked aghast, and I said, shh. I said, who are you? He said, I'm down in the bottom of the sea. I couldn't tell you what anguish the words came. Help me, help me, help me. I'm down in the bottom of the sea. We're drowning like rats. I said, where are you? He said, we're on the Squalus. Now, the Squalus had gone down in Providence Harbor 10 years before. There's no time on the next dimension like there is here. And he was reliving over and over and over again the experience of being down there. He told how the boys in the other compartment had been sealed off and were drowning like rats. He said, my buddy's in there. He said, oh, he said, help me. And as I tuned in, I got the feeling, catch his consciousness so that he'll hear your voice. So I kept saying, Edward, listen. Listen, you're not down in the Squalus. You're up in God's fresh air, and you can smell it if you'll take a deep breath of fresh air. I had to say it about 4 or 5 times. Finally, I caught his consciousness, and he took the deep breath, and her breast heaved, and she said, did I do it again? She said, what happened? So I told him. Now, what happened, as it was explained to me afterwards, because I'm always seeking for instruction, he got caught in an emotional lock through the tension of that moment as he went through the gate. And he was living and reliving that thing over and over again until, as they explained to me, there's a belt, shall we say, just use this as a symbol. Here are the invisible helpers on this side, ready and willing at any moment to help. But if they're caught in the earth consciousness here, someone here on the earth who knows they're there and knows they need the help, have to give them a push to get them over where the others can help them. You see, this is why people that want to serve can serve in this if they wish. But it is to get them over there so then they can be taken care of. You know, another thing, as I've been taught, they will not go against the law of free will on the next dimension any more than they will here. The forces of light never coerce. And you can be sure when someone is trying to force you to think a particular thing in the religious line, they're not on the forces of light. The forces of light will suggest, and that's it. You can pick up the suggestion or not, as you please. But never any pressure. And when I saw many souls who seemed to be in great distress on the next dimension, and I asked why they weren't being helped, the teacher said, even here, we go not against the law of free will. The minute they ask for help, they shall receive it. And one of the things I'd like to stress, because I know how much it can help if you understand it, that there's great power in asking for any instruction, for any help. For instance, my teacher told me that I could function outside the body while I was still in it and find out what life on the next dimension was like. I said, all right, God, prove it. If this is so, I want to know it for myself. And you want to know it for yourself. And ask, and you shall receive. The funniest part of it, I woke up one night in the middle of the room trying to get back into that body. And I got a fit of laughing because every time I got down into it, I bounced back up again. I said, if anybody could see this and see the inner me and the outer me, they'd say, you've certainly lost your mind now. But really, this question, these are some of the things I've shared with the group because they have found out for it to be true, that it is true too. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened. You can be open-mindedly skeptical and say, maybe, maybe not. But if God can prove it to her, he can prove it to me. And so, as I say, you don't have to take this just because somebody else says so. But what someone else says, I'll listen to and try it. And in this, we've had about 3 years in group work, and many, many individual counselings in regard to this technique I talked to you about. Certainly, the planet is blessed by having a man like Max Freedom Long on it. And as I say, long after he has gone on to his reward, which should be very great, his books will be telling a story that those who are ready for will try for themselves. He tells you about eating companions, obsessions. I know that's so. And if you take your pendulum, and he tells you how to use it, and hold it over the hands of a person obsessed, which I have done more than once, I haven't always let them know why I was doing it. I've said, well, let me see how much vital force you've got. If that person has eating companions or an obsession in their magnetic field, that pendulum will not move one inch. Get that fly out of here. Never will. It will not move. And this has been the clue many times to me of the need to help the person with the obsession. Another thing we tried all kinds of experiments in our group. Supposing we would take the vital force of each one of the group. If we found one low in energy, as we've done more than once, then we would meditate and we would ask that the mana or the prana would flow through us to that person. And after the meditation, we would take the vital force. We'd find we all had a little less, but she had four times as much. These things work. They don't work. We just throw them out. These things do work. But the contact with the subconscious, I can't tell you how helpful it is. You have no idea what will happen if you get in right relationship with your little subconscious. It will carry your prayers to the high self. It will make contact with the high self. You know why prayers don't get answered? Because the subconscious feels guilty. And many times guilty of the silliest things. Things that don't make sense at all. And so it's afraid to go to its Father in heaven. And I don't know whether you believe this or not, but my feeling is our Father who art in heaven is our own Omakua, our own high self. And that high self is in contact with every other high self in the universe. And when people come to me for astrological counseling, they never enter that door that I don't say inwardly, let my high self and your high self come together in great harmony and send me down what this person needs at this moment. You see, really, we're nothing as personalities. And you'll never be something until you're willing to be nothing as a personality. In order to be something, you've got to be nothing. And when you're nothing, God can flow that power through and use you in the most wonderful way. And time after time, as you see that power work, you'll say, hallelujah. We have seen healings in our group work such as would seem impossible to my mind some years back. And according to our capacity for love and devotion to each other, would the harmony of that meditation bring the power through? I remember one evening when there was perfect accord, and there must have been, our group isn't a large one, 30, 35, and as someone came in the door that night, just as the meeting started, she said, Isabel, will you pray for John so-and-so? And I never ask what's the matter with John so-and-so, so I don't care. I said, certainly. But that night in meditation, we reached a very high point because we were in perfect harmony with each other. If you want to have a prayer answered, you have got to tune to the high self and be in perfect harmony. And the minute that fellow's name was mentioned, this is the only time this happened in this particular way, I got a pain that ran right across my back like that, as if someone drew a knife down. And I knew at that moment, without a shadow of a doubt, whatever was the matter with him, he was healed. And this was a conviction that came from my high self. This wasn't my personal self talking. And when we turned on the lights, we always shut the lights off because it gives more quiet. I said, that man was healed. What was the matter with him? She said, he's being operated on tomorrow morning for cancer of the lungs. I said, that man has no cancer. Course me, stupid. I thought if you had anything wrong with your lungs, they cut you here. And I said, well, why did I have this thing across my back? She says, that's where they'll cut him. I said, he will be healed. Well, I think that even they thought I was a little bit off. The next morning they opened up the man. There was no cancer whatsoever. They sewed him up and sent him home well. And later his wife was to come into the group and became a very strong spiritual student. And he is strange. Now, these are the things I don't understand. He was perfectly healthy for 2 years, and he was at his summer home in Maine and died very suddenly with a strangulated hernia. Well, my personal mind said, well, if God could cure him of cancer of the lungs so quickly, why couldn't he have done a job on the hernia at the same time? And I wondered what his wife was going to say. She came in and she said, I don't think we were supposed to be used as channels for this. She said, in those 2 years, he, because of that healing, he grew closer to God than he had ever grown in his life. He knew he was healed, and she said, I'm perfectly willing to leave it all in God's hands. I felt better because I was wondering. You know, you have a lot of questioning and a lot of wondering. So, as I say, we've grown in love and harmony for each other, and as we've grown in love and harmony, our power to be used as channels has grown too. And we have a group of people we pray for and put them on the list, and we have seen miracle follow miracle. And the wonderful thing is nobody does it. This is the thing. We can take no credit for any of this, but we can be so grateful. And that subconscious self will cooperate to the fullest extent. This last season, the last 2 years, we have had more of Max's techniques and introduced them to more people because our group is always changing. There's always the old guard. They run in age from 16 to 80. And the ones that have been in it more than 2 or 3 years have become highly intuitive. One of the things I want to say, and if I'm wrong, forgive me, but I sense in this group a great many occultists, and that you're sort of on the occult path. This is the most dangerous path of all, unless it's blended with the devotion and the faith and the mystical side, the willingness to cleanse yourself and be a nothing. And I'll tell you what happens. If you're only on the occult path, you have a wonderful mind, and you develop powers, there's no doubt about it, but you develop the most subtle type of ego that you can possibly imagine. It's a very refined and cultured ego. It moves in. And for that very reason, it's much harder to get at. And I would suggest, now, I don't want anybody to be a fuzzy-wuzzy mystic either, sloshy sentimentalist. That's as bad. That's the other end. It isn't as bad. I'll tell you why. You won't do half as much damage. You see, with the use of power, it's very dangerous. And I, in my 25 years, have watched people take both the occult path and the mystical path. Now, you're not supposed to be a spiritual dope. You are supposed to understand these laws. But if you bring along with your occult growth the growth of discipline of the ego and the personal self and willingness to clean yourself up, you will be safe. You know, the greatest enemy we've got is the person we imagine ourselves to be. And one of the things we have done in our group is being willing to be honest and to look at ourselves and to start to clean house at home. And now I'm just going to tell you a couple of things on the astrological line, because Riley, I was talking to him yesterday, and he said to mention it to you. Where mass consciousness is concerned, astrology works accurately. It is the greatest help to the spiritual student because it tells him the work he needs to do. It tells him what he's brought over to clean up. It tells him the cycles of times he will be presented with the problems. I thought we had an excellent talk yesterday on astrology. It can be the biggest help to the spiritual student. But you do not have to function under it if you're willing to function under your high self. This is only the personality pattern. As long as you stay in the personality pattern, any astrologer worth their salt can read accurately for you and tell you just what's going to happen because you're not doing a thing about your life. But if you are a spiritual student at the work of cleaning yourself up, that shot will not work half as accurately. And I just want to tell one story, and then I'm going to quit. So this is what I would say to you. Use astrology to understand your personality pattern, then get beyond it and change it. In mass consciousness, however, it works very accurately. You look at our plane crashes of the last 10 days. Mars has been conjunct Uranus. Every time it happens, we have a whole slew of plane crashes. And as far as the assassination last November, it hit right on astrological time. In fact, just a couple of meetings before, I had told the group, pray for Kennedy because he could easily be shot either now or in May. His chart is right in that sort of a cycle. So the day it happened, people started calling me like, man, Isabel, you know what you said. I said, what did I say? And then they told me they just heard Kennedy was shot. Would he live? No. And Johnson is a man of destiny. And his chart hit off at the exact moment he was propelled into fame. He's a Virgo with four or five planets in Virgo. His ruler is Mercury. And at just the day that Uranus hit that Mercury, his whole life changed. And I do believe very strongly, as many astrologers do, he will be in for the next 4 years, but I don't think he'll go on beyond that. He's in a Uranus cycle in Virgo. And when Virgo is over, when Uranus is through with Virgo, he will not, it will be somebody else in his place. So don't you Republicans look for anything for another term. Now I'm going to finish up, you know. I could tell you stories all night because I have so many of them. But I do just want to tell you this one because this was one of the funniest things that ever happened to me. When I went in as an astrologer in a professional way, I was really afraid I was going to attract a lot of crackpots. But I never did. It was funny. It's the way God works it. When you let him do it, he brings you the people he can help through you. And I only had one case that I must tell you about. A woman called me up one day and she wanted an appointment. And she said, I do the same thing you do, only do it with sand. And I thought, she does it with sand. What does she do with sand? So I couldn't give her an appointment that day. I was busy. But 2 days later, I gave her an appointment. She says, I only want to know when the moon is conjunct Venus in Pisces. And this sounded interesting, so I look forward to meeting her. She came in. She was a little short, stocky Italian girl, about 45, and she had this great big book. And I took a look at the book. It was the Book of Black Magic by Waite. Under her arm, and so she sat down. She said, can you tell me when the moon is conjunct Venus in Pisces? I said, why? She said, I want to make a charm. I said, what do you want to make the charm for? She said, I want to get my lover back. And I said, I said, what happened to your romance? She said, he's mad at me. I said, what's he mad at you for? She said, well, I got pregnant, he wouldn't marry me, and I took him into court. I said to myself, I don't wonder he's mad. But she said, so I asked her, I said, how do you know about this magic business? Because she was very uneducated and illiterate. And I knew she just didn't know very much. And she said, my aunt in the old country taught it to me. I said, tell me about your aunt in the old country. Well, she said, they said she had the evil eye. And people used to go up into the mountains to see her, and they'd get charms for to get their sweethearts back or to get rid of them and everything. I said, did you ever see anything she did? She said, yes. She said, when I was about 14, she said, I had a cousin who died in a fire, and she said she told me she'd bring her back. And she said she did some charm things, and the girl came right up through the floor and said, Auntie, why don't you leave me alone? I said, what did you do? She said, I fainted. So So then I said, well, what is this charm going to do? She said, well, if I make it at the right time with the moon conjunct Venus in Pisces, he'll be in my bed within 3 days. And I said, but that's black magic. Oh, she says, no, not when you do it for love.
That leaves the tape about half finished, so it will be run off. And later on, we'll have other lectures to follow. Not by Isabel, I'm afraid, but when I know what the classes need, I'll see what I can do to sort of help to fill in. Max Long signing off now with Aloha.